Blog Talk Radio.
Care can be messy. That's why Whirlpool gives you customized care for any mess.
She just got all over me.
Simply select what to wash and how to wash it.
Don't poop, don't poop.
To get the perfect cycle.
Oh, man.
For the perfect clean. Every day, care. Whirlpool.
Darling, you send me. I know you. Darling, you send me. Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do.
This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Terrence Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Oladeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic this evening is spirituality, a new perspective, and we have an interview with the amazing Ty Kane, the founder of Future Visioning. We're looking forward to having him on tonight. I hope he's in the queue.
Right here, Terrence.
That's fantastic. Glad you can make it, Mr. Kane. So let's get started very briefly. Yes. Sure. So we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Okay? That was by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. All right. So we want to get going. We've had a rough start this evening, trying some new technology, but guess what? We're gonna close strong for you, family. So I'm glad Mr. Kane is able to make it after the goings on over in California. So let's get this thing started a little bit. So, Mr. Kane, I see you're here safely.
Yes, I am. I'm here, happy and excited about not only the future, but excited about this topic, excited about spirituality, because it's really important, because as Teilhard de Chardin said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Absolutely. All right, so tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Sure, be happy to, because I've been doing this spiritual journey thing for over 45 years, and I found out that most of what I did in those years did not work. And looking back at it, most of it doesn't even make sense. That quote, I love that quote from the French philosopher Teilhard de Chardin, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I've shared, a lot of the stuff I talk about is controversial, and your audience will hear that. You know that, Jared. We've had some great conversations. One of the cool things about that quote is I've shared that with probably tens of thousands of people, and I've never had anybody argue with that. They argue about a lot of the other stuff I'll talk about God, the goddess, about emotions, about dealing with anger and being honest with your feelings and stuff like that. But I've never had anybody say, no, I'm just a lump of flesh. I'm just a human being. I have no spirit in me at all. Never have I had any, even atheists go, well, yeah, we're kind of, I just don't know who's up there. So that quote is so profound and so powerful that everyone gets it and feels it. Problem is, what I've found studying this spiritual stuff, traveling around the world twice to go to India and do the guru thing, I did just about every seminar there is, every training, every therapy. I grew up in Utah, Montana, and I was surrounded by Mormons when I was in Utah. My dad's family was, but my mom wasn't, so I wasn't part of that club. And then I went to church, the Unitarian Church, and blah, 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 with my mom. And one day, I was about 10, and I was all dressed, ready to go to church, and I was standing out in the driveway, and we lived about half a block from the mountains. I looked up at my mom and said, I don't want to go to church. I want to go chase lizards. And she said, okay. That was the last time I ever went to church. I didn't care. I didn't fit in. I didn't want it. Didn't like it. Just didn't make any sense to me until I went to Nepal 10, 20, 30 years later. And I wound up in India, Nepal with a friend who was going there to study Bengal tigers with National Geographic. And I just went for the ride, just for the fun of it. And I just felt something awaken in my mind and in my heart. I didn't even know what to call it. I since then realized and have learned that it was a sense of spirituality. It was a sense of there's something more to who I am and to who we are. So I came back from Nepal as in 1974 and started, I was in Utah and still they couldn't find anything that was interesting there. So I started traveling to California and within a year or so moved to California because that's where everything spiritual was going on in LA. It was 1976 and all the spiritual stuff was happening. So every night, 7 nights a week, I'd be in a different meditation group, a different spiritual group doing this, a different healing group and consciousness and therapy and all that stuff. And it was fun. It was interesting. I did that for, about 8-9 years. And then wound up in a hospital with a life-threatening illness and realized none of that crap works. None of that positive thinking worked. None of the spiritual, none of the energy healing, all that stuff that I'd done. Eating, I was a vegetarian, an annoying vegetarian, pain in the ass vegetarian for years, telling people, do you know what you're doing to your body? Well, what I was doing to my body was getting sick, and it was because of my crappy attitude. So I realized none of the spiritual stuff, and you and I have talked about this, laughed about this, most healers are sick. Most therapists are miserable. They have the second highest suicide rate of all professions. Most of the stuff we do to try and fix ourselves and look what the churches are doing themselves with pedophilia scandals and the craziness that goes on there. And I realized none of that stuff worked. I was in a hospital and the doctor said I wouldn't live to see the next morning. And I'd been, along with the spiritual stuff, I'd been studying metaphysics. And the core teaching of metaphysics... Yeah, you and I talked about this. Create our own reality.
Right.
And that's the quantum physics, metaphysics teaches that and doesn't equivocate about it. It's not debatable. It is the absolute truth. And the foundation of that metaphysics doesn't talk about a lot, is how are you, how is it that we are so powerful that we can literally create our own reality? Well, it's ultimately because we are spiritual beings. It's not only the way physics
right.
works and the cosmos works and the universe, it's because we're gods and goddesses. We just forgot that. That's where we came
right.
from. That's where we're going. But we forgot it. Got stuck in being humans and then believed, created religions that teach suffering. We created a whole spiritual movement that believes that just be in the moment and everything will work out. Well, no, it doesn't. I was in a hospital. The
right.
doctor said, you'll be dead before tomorrow morning unless you have surgery. And I refused surgery. I said, no, I'm going to figure this crap out. I'm going to figure this out somehow or die trying. I said, I'm going
to
heal this.
So hold on. Mr. King, so you're trying to tell me that you were on the operating table trying to figure out how you created the situation with your appendix, I believe, or something?
Yeah, my appendix was blowing up, and I was in the hospital after 24 hours of unbelievable pain. On a scale of 0 to 10, it was like a 25. And they're rolling me down the hallway, the three doctors, my friend who I was going skiing with, the emergency room attending physician, and the surgeon. And they're rolling me down the hall towards the operating room, saying, you should have been in here yesterday. We don't know if we'll be able to save you because your appendix may have already burst. We may not be able to save you. And I said, stop. Wait a minute. And they stopped. And I said, I don't want surgery. And the doctor, who's a woman, she's really cool. She looked at me and she said, wait, didn't I explain to you, you'll probably be dead before tomorrow morning if we don't do surgery like 10 hours ago. I said, no, I heard you. I just believe in this thing called metaphysics. I believe that I'm powerful. And I don't know how I believe that because I've only been, at that time, I'd only been studying this stuff for like 3, 4, 5 years. I was a newbie. I look back, I still can't believe I said no. I don't believe I did that. Now I know enough that I'd probably say no and hopefully get through it. But I said, no, I'm not going to have surgery. I'm going to heal this or die trying. It
wow.
took me another hour of digging into myself to figure out why am I creating this disease that's killing me, which is in the healing realm, and it's based on spirituality. If you're a god, if you're a goddess, then everything that happens to you is your choice. It's not the world doing it to you. It's not your body doing it to you. It's not even the dirty air or whatever, or the stuff in your food you are creating your reality. That's the core teaching of metaphysics. It's the core teaching of all the wisdom traditions. And it's also the core teaching of spirituality because the essential message of, you and I talked about this the other day. Most people don't even know what spirituality is. I didn't. I thought it was going to church, and I didn't want that. So I didn't go. So I thought, I'm not spiritual. I'm just a dude who lives in the mountains of Montana and enjoys water skiing and snow skiing and sailing and riding motorcycles and racing my car. And I was just a guy doing guy things. And then I went to Nepal, and I felt this thing that was something bigger, something more. I didn't even know what it was. And I said, I want more of this. So years and years and years doing all this stuff, I almost got my appendix. So I figured it out. Obviously, I'm still here. I figured it out. And blowing up my appendix was anger at my mother that I had never admitted because we have a cabin in Montana, and I found it. I fixed it up. I made a deal with her. She'd pay for it, and then we'd be partners. And then she screwed me out of it. She said, no, it's my cabin, and I'm going to do with it whatever I want. I realized I'd been ripped off of my favorite thing in the world. 5 years after she told me that it was her cabin and I didn't have any ownership, my appendix is exploding when I'm visiting her in Utah. Not a coincidence.
Wow.
I was at her, staying in the house I grew up in, visiting her when my appendix decided to explode. So I'm in the hospital. I refused surgery. I still thought I was going to die, but I just felt the anger at my mom. And I said, I got nothing to lose. So I told her how angry I was. And by venting all of the anger, telling her I felt angry and betrayed and hurt and hopeless, as I'm speaking those words to her, I'm in a hospital bed. I'm in excruciating pain, speaking those words. And all of a sudden, I just stop mid-sentence, go, wait, what's wrong with this picture? I realized the pain was 100% gone, completely, instantaneously healed, gone. I still have my appendix. I went skiing. And that was after years of like being spiritual and trying to meditate. none of that stuff really works. The only thing that works is being honest, getting real.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I didn't get the message even then, because I spent another 11 years being spiritual and then wound up in a suicidal depression.
Wow.
So now I got like 20 years of spiritual stuff under my belt, and I'm suicidal. I'm depressed. I hate my life. I hate my career. I'm in a bad marriage. I'm going through a horrible divorce. I have no hope, and I want to kill myself. And I go,
so hold on.
This is
so,
what I get after.
Mr. Kang, hold on for a second. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. Okay.
No.
So you're telling me and my listening audience that while you were on the hospital bed or operating table or whatever with your appendix, you figured out that you were extremely angry at your mother.
Yep.
And you acknowledged that, and your illness all of a sudden dissipated.
Instantaneously. It happened in the middle of a sentence. It was so fast I didn't even know it had happened. I said, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? There's something wrong in this room. I don't know what it is. Oh, pain's gone. And since then, I've been studying. Go ahead.
What did the doctors say about that when they saw that happen? Like, what were their responses?
Oh, that was really cool. The surgeon came in. That happened at night. The surgeon, the woman who said, you're going to die, she came in the next morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm completely dressed. I'm up. I'm ready to go skiing, because that's why I was there on a skiing vacation. So she walks in, and I'm supposed to be dead. And obviously I'm not dead, because I'm like, I'm happy. I'm excited. And I look over to her and I say, check me out of this cheesy hotel. The food here sucks, and I got to go skiing. And she looks at me, and she's doing a double, triple take. Her brain is going, wait a minute. This guy's supposed to be dead. At the best, he's supposed to be just hanging on, and he's dressed in and then she registered, oh my God, he did what he said he was going to do. He healed it. I said, yeah, I told you I was going to heal it or die trying. I healed it. I got to go skiing. So it was so cool. This was rare among human beings. You're one of the rare human beings in the world, Terrence, because you really want to know things, and you're willing to ask questions and be open. You and I have had so many hours of fun talks in the last few weeks. It's been so great, because you really want to know the truth. You're willing to ask and listen and learn something new.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Mr. Kane, we have a track next. I'm going to pause you there for a second, and we're going to get back to it. We have a track next by the International Radio Hall of Fame, broadcasting the Trinity, Brother O. He's going to play a song for us next.
I don't know when, and I'm dial in, like a phone number.
All right. All right, are we back? Okay. Yes, we're back. All right, thank you for that, Brother O, for that track. All right, I think we have a caller in the queue right now. Caller one, who am I speaking with? Hello?
I'm here, Terry.
We know
hey,
you are,
hey,
Todd.
Hey, how
oh,
you doing?
There
doing?
We go. There you go. Unmuted.
Look, man, between the spirituality of the show, the energy of Mr. Terry Strength, man, I'm enjoying it. And, look, I'm anxious to get back to it. So let me make a quick announcement right quick. Oh, my God, boy, this is amazing here. Congratulations, 2020 O&E Syndication Station. Linear new host of the year, Terry Strength, on your O&E Syndication Station. All-time connection record with your 31st all-time and an unprecedented 30th consecutive and first station host to ever accomplish it. And you already know the Magic Man got nothing but divine love and respect for you, man. And I just keep on going and setting the bar.
Thank you, Magic Man. I appreciate that. I humbly appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, yay for you, Terrence.
Yes. Thank you. All right, so I didn't know if you want to make any comments. I guess not, other than congratulate me. I really, really appreciate that. I humbly accept that. Thank you. All right, so Mr. Kane.
Okay. Let me add something to that story to bring back to the focus of spirituality. The underpinning of all metaphysics is you create your own reality, and quantum physics has now proven that. And the underpinning of that is you create your own reality because you are a God-goddess being. It's not just random. It's not by accident. It's we came from God and the goddess. We actually came from the goddess. And then we became human. We forgot, and we're in the process of learning and reclaiming our power and our ability to love. And we're supposed to be having some fun here. And we created all these screwed up religions. But suffering is the way to suffering never worked for me. Drove me, well, like I was saying just before the break, the suffering not only put me in the hospital once, but then years later, 11 years of more spiritual shit later, and I wind up suicidally depressed. And I meditated. I'd been to India to do the thing with the gurus. I ate right. I did the every kind of therapy and healing process there is. I have a list of 413 therapies that are pretty much every therapy in the world, and I can tell you why none of them work. And there are five major regions, which is why I created the future vision process that actually I was in the process of creating when I healed myself, my appendix. And then when I saved myself and came out of my suicidal depression in 1 second, because I was freaked out. I was scared. I said, all these years of spiritual stuff, and I hate my life, and I'm suicidal. I don't want to live anymore. I go, I'm really broken. Because I've done every form of – I live in L.A. I did it 7 nights a week. I go to different kind of therapy, meditation, gestalt group, every healing modality in the world. I did them all. Reiki, and I did energy healing before Reiki even existed in the United States. And none of that stuff worked. And I was suicidal. I said, so there must be something wrong with me because I don't want to live anymore. And then because my favorite spiritual, you and I have talked about Lazarus is a channel being that I studied with for over 40 years now. And he's the one who not only said, you create your reality, but he said another amazing thing that changed my whole life. And I hope your audience will listen to this carefully, because like you and I were talking about this the other day, Terrence, and you've been playing with this idea for years and now really getting it. Lazarus is the only teacher on the planet Earth who's really clearly said, the future creates the present.
The future creates the present.
It is our future. It's where we're going. Where we're going that determines what happens now. And every other therapy, all the religious models, they're all based on the past is directing you, controlling you. And I believe that, and I worked with that for 20 years, and it almost killed me twice, and never made any sense, and didn't work. So while I'm suicidal, I'm sitting here in my house, freaking out, having an adrenaline rush, shaking like a leaf, going, oh, my God, I want to get my gun, put a bullet in my head. I don't want to be here anymore. And I thought, I'm broken.
Wow.
Because I had done all this spiritual stuff, and it hasn't worked. And the truth is, it doesn't work for most of anybody. When you go around and actually talk to healers and people who are doing meditation workshops and all that, most of them are miserable. Most of them are unhappy. There are very few happy, healthy, and successful people, including the practitioners, sadly. Most of the clients who come to me to do their individual work are practitioners. They've spent 10, 15, 20 years doing all the healing work, and it hasn't worked for them, or really, and it works a little bit. It's like a massage. A massage feels good, but it doesn't last. So when I was suicidal, the thing you and I talked about the other day, what I realized was I started thinking about the future creates the present. I realized I'm going through a horrible divorce. I hate my career. I'm in sales, and I don't care. I've been doing this meditation and spiritual stuff for all these years, and I'm still miserable, so that doesn't work. And I go, and I was in my, like, 30s, so I go, I've got, like, 70 years of more struggle like this. I go, I'm smart enough to leave. I realized my urge to kill myself was the smartest idea I ever had. Because I said, get off this road. This life sucks. And I said, but I really don't want to die. I don't want to kill myself. But I don't know what else to do. And I go, oh, wait. Either I'm broken and I need to take medication and just struggle through the, or change my future. And in that moment, I made a decision and I ended my career. I ended the divorce. I said, okay, I'm done with all that. I'm going to go. I decided to become a hypnotherapist because I wanted to work with the mind and the body and the spirit and work with the future when I realized, oh, that's what I want to do. So I literally went to the hypnosis school and signed up that afternoon. And I've been happy for 27 years doing this full time, taking people out into their future to see the bright future that can be. And I actually have an exercise that we can do with your audience. You and I talked about it, if you want, an exercise to give them a taste of the future.
Okay,
because
I want to, you know what?
Future that makes us feel how we feel.
Got you. I want to do that. We have another caller in the queue, and then we can look into that after this caller.
Okay, cool.
Hi, Brother
Terrence. Sister Bessie.
Yeah,
how you doing,
Sister
Bessie?
Sister Bessie the Truther. You know I had to call in.
How are you doing, love?
All right. I wanted to ask your guest something. I have a question for him, and I
hello,
like
Sister
his opinion
Bessie.
On it. Okay, hi. How are you?
I'm really happy. How are you?
Yes. From hearing from you, you're making me happy.
That's good.
Okay, I have this question here. I don't know whether this question is a little bit too deep, but
now, there's no such thing. It's time to get deep. We don't have time to mess around anymore. That's why I tell the truth about this stuff. And people get pissed off at me for criticizing all the other therapies and stuff. I don't. My clients come to me and they're sick. They're on the edge of dying. I don't have time to mess around. We don't. The world doesn't have time to mess. Somebody's got to tell the truth here. And I'm the only therapist I know of in the world who tells the truth about everything, up to and including the anger at God and the goddess, which will probably be part of the answer to your question. And so, yeah, go deep. That's what's important
okay.
now.
Okay. My question is, if we have the power to change things, can others interfere with that change that we are trying to make by negative energies being sent to you, such as witchcraft and the change of the frequencies with the towers all around us and the attacks on our DNA? Can a person be driven to suicide by these methods?
So there are two answers to that. One is the brief answer, and then a more complex, nuanced answer that's really important because we have to understand the details. The first answer is no. You create your own reality. The essence of spirituality, which we were talking about here, and nobody even knows what spirituality is, spirituality, like people think spirituality is going to church, or spirituality is having a positive attitude, or spirituality is meditating three times a day, or wearing some the clothes of the guru in India. People think all kinds of things are spirituality. That's not spirituality. The essence of spirituality is your relationship with God, the goddess, and be all that is.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what you do, whether you go to church or not. There are a lot of people who go to church, as you know, are not very pleasant people, not honest, not even sane. And so they go to church. It doesn't mean anything. There are a lot of people who meditate. Most of them are miserable. Most of them still have their chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah.
Sadly. So the essence of spirituality is your relationship with God and the goddess. And the quote that we started out with, the terrorists started out with, that we are spiritual beings. So the real truth of spirituality is not only that you have a relationship with God and the goddess, but that you're a part of God and the goddess. You're a spiritual being. That's what being spiritual is. It's not about eating granola. It's about being a part of God and the goddess. So let me ask you a question. Is it Bessie?
Mm-hmm. Bessie.
Okay, Bessie. If you were the goddess, like just pretend you're the goddess, like you're the most powerful, you're the source of everything. One of my favorite quotes from Lazarus is he said, if the truth were known, the goddess created God.
Mm.
The feminine energy is the source of everything.
Mm, yes, yes.
Men don't have babies.
What do you mean by that?
What did you say?
I said, what do you mean by that? Feminine energy is the source of everything.
The feminine energy is the energy that creates space, like the womb in a woman's body, a space in which to create life. The space itself is a product of the feminine energy, is a product of the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have a God that creates a world and whatever, in order to have our lives, to create a world, to create a universe, to create the galaxies, you have to have a space to create that in. You have to have the possibility of creating it in the first place. So back to the question, if you were the goddess, and you're a part of the goddess, Bessie, so am I. We all have, as men, feminine energy in us. Terrace and I have talked about this. Most men don't know much of anything about their feminine energy, which is destroying them as well as hurting their wives and the people around them. But if you were the goddess, and like you're powerful enough to create the universe that you live in, as well as create your body, which is what I did, what I proved by healing my appendix, I proved that I'm creating this body from second to second to second. I'm creating my body. It's not a physical thing. It's an illusion. I'm creating this body. And the energies and the thoughts that I carry, the anger that I'm holding onto, is creating my body. So if you're powerful, if you were the goddess, Bessie, if you were powerful enough to create the entire universe and to create your body in this universe, is a 5G tower going to mess with you?
Hmm. Okay.
Is somebody who's got like negative energy and wants to do voodoo or cast spells or something, are they really going to mess with the goddess?
Hmm.
No.
I like that. Yeah.
But the problem is that the whole problem. Yes. The whole. And how does that feel? How does that feel? Just to play for a minute. Just to play with the idea, Bessie, that you are the goddess. You're a part of the goddess. You're part of the source that literally created the entire universe.
Yes. But can I say this one thing? But in history, they have taught us about the God, man.
Yeah.
But
why
we are not taught about the female goddess in our environment. And I think by you saying that, this is why we're in the condition that we are, because the male God and the female goddess has been separated, not taught about, and that's why we're in the conditions that we're in. Thank you so much. I appreciate your answer. And thank you so much.
Hold on, wait a minute, Bessie. You didn't answer my other question. Now I get to ask you the question. How do you feel right now, just considering and all of you, everybody who's listening, including the men, Terrace and I have been talking about, I've been in love with the goddess for 41 years since I met Lazarus, and he introduced me, and I didn't even know who she was. I didn't even like religion. And he started talking about God, and the goddess said, I don't care about this stuff. I want metaphysics. I want to just create cool stuff. And he said, well, you got to own the God Goddess, the spiritual part of you. I said, okay, so I'll play with that. He introduced me to the goddess, and I burst into tears, crying so deeply, because I realized I had been searching for her for the last 300 lifetimes.
Yes.
And I didn't even know I was searching. It's what we're all looking for. We want to go home.
Well, so,
hold on, Bessie. Before you say something, I want you to answer my other question. Because connecting to the goddess is what it's all about. And then, as you said, the culture is all screwed up because we just have male gods and male chauvinism. If you remembered that you're a part of the goddess, that she's a part of you, how do you feel?
Well, personally, I feel great because, you know, I'm a fellow host. And I have taught about the woman being beside the man instead of being behind him. So you just strengthened my spirit in knowing who I am on this plane of existence.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And here's another cool thing, Bessie. Think about this. We came from the goddess and from God to become human.
Yes.
We were spirits before we came here. And guess where we're going? Guess what our ultimate future is?
Yes.
We're going home back to, well, not back to, forward to, because God and the gods aren't where they were when we left. They're out in the front of us. We're going home to God and the goddess. That's our ultimate future. And my work, where I take people out into their future, and Darison, I've done some of this, going out to see your future 10 years from now, go out to see your 100-year-old self, meet your 100-year-old self, because they're real. We'll do an exercise in a little bit to actually do that, to go out and meet your 100-year-old self and then look beyond this lifetime, because the biggest part of our existence is beyond this lifetime.
Yes.
When we get to go home to God and the goddess and the source and love that is forever, that's the biggest part of our future. But we forgot that. And when I forgot that and was just stuck in this life and was trying to just be in the moment, I was miserable. I wanted to kill myself. Till I reconnected with the future and said, not only am I going to have fun in this lifetime, but where am I really going? Oh,
yes.
I'm going through this lifetime, and then I'm going home to the goddess. So if that's where you're going and who you really are, how does that make you feel?
Wonderful. At this point in my life, It makes me feel wonderful, and
that's what we're supposed to be feeling.
Yes. So I appreciate your information, and thank you so much for coming on the show, Brother Terrence.
Yes.
I'm Sister Bessie from the Front Porch. I will be on the 26th of this month. And thank you so much, and congratulations on your congratulations, Brother.
Thank you very much, Sister. Thank you very much, and thank you for your comments to Sister Bessie, Mr. Kane. We have a track next.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Bessie. It was fun.
Yep, we have a track from Brother O next. Go ahead, Brother O.
I love you. 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 For sentimental reasons, I hope you do believe me. I've given you meant for me.
your loving, 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 loving heart to me. And tell me we'll never part. Never, never, never part. My darling, I love you, 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 I love you.
All right, we have a caller three. Caller three in the queue. Who am I speaking with? This is Tara Strand.
Good evening. Hi, it's Lena Blue.
How are you doing, Miss Blue?
I am doing great. First of all, I want to congratulate you, the comment, on your 31st connection record. So congratulations to you for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Welcome, and also I want to greet your guest, the fabulous Ty Kane.
Thank you.
Hi there. I'm just really enjoying the conversation and the information that you're giving. It's just, you know, fantastic.
Right.
It's blowing up our minds out here. And as you're talking, trust me and believe, I am taking notes.
Great.
I don't want to miss anything.
And there's a whole bunch more. There's a whole bunch more information on my website is futurevisioning.com, and there's a whole. Actually, there was a 10-minute video there that explains how the future affects us. And then a year or so ago, I said I want to give more of this. So there's actually a 2-hour video that's free on the front page of my website. It's being redone, but it's still there. It's 2.5 hours of talking about the essential ideas here that will give you even more. If you want some more information, and my contact information is there and stuff. But that video is free, and it helps you go deeper into the relationship with the future and the relationship with God and the goddess and the anger at God and the goddess and the self-pity that we block ourselves with. And so there's a whole bunch more information there. So I'm happy you're taking notes, and there's a lot to learn, and the cool thing is it works.
Absolutely.
So, Ms. Do you have a question for Mr. Kane?
Yes, I do. You know I do.
Yay, what is it?
I did read your book, The Goddess Cure, a couple years ago. And,
yes.
You know, that was eye-opening. And I'm referencing that because you talk about my question, and you also mentioned it tonight. But I wanted to ask you to can you talk a little bit more about the impact to women due to the removal of the goddess. Can you talk about what that to women?
Yes, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for going to the core. Think of going deep. The core wound in every single one of us, including men, more devastating to women in the feminine connection sense, more devastating to men in the results, is we have, as Bessie was saying, we don't have any, there's no goddess in Western religion anywhere. There are goddesses in Eastern religions, but they're usually second tier players. There's no significant goddess anywhere in any religion on the earth, except for my spirituality and what I teach all of my clients. And the wounding there happened in an interesting way. We've been taught that God is a mean, nasty, punishing, judgmental, scary, like a good God-fearing man is one of the most horrible phrases on the planet Earth. And that's what we've been taught by religion, to fear God. So we do. And when we're primitive cultures on the Earth, we felt like God's in control. We obviously aren't. We didn't know our divine nature. And so we have the fear of God, and anybody that you fear for more than a few seconds, how do you feel about them?
You want to get away from them, or you don't want to get them angry.
You're angry. You after a few seconds of fear, you're then angry. So the truth is, everybody on the planet is afraid of God and really pissed off, really angry. But nobody talks about that because he has lightning bolts and stuff. And then there are all the preachers and the people who will come down on you if you say anything negative about God. But part of the reason I was suicidal was I was so angry at God. My life sucked and it hurt and I hated it and I was unhappy and I felt powerless to do anything about it. So of course I'm angry. And I was angry at God, thinking that he had created it, that he had done it to me. So in history, if you read Rhian Eisler, The Chalice and the Blade, cultures 10, 12, 15,000 years ago revered the goddess. They literally built cities down by the rivers instead of up on the mountaintops with stone walls around them because they were cooperative cultures. And this is she's a cultural anthropologist. And she actually has evidence that the goddess was revered in many human cultures. But then the warring nature of human beings and the anger at God and the trying to take other people's stuff, we became more male-oriented and male chauvinist. So now all we have is male, angry, nasty, scary gods. And when you're angry at God and he's the only one who's there, like I always ask my clients as I do when I take them into their anger at God, after we go to their future, their ideal future, then I take them into their childhood and into their anger that's holding them back. And ultimately they're angry at their parents, and then they're really angry at God. And when I say to them after they see how angry they are at God, I go, where was the goddess? And this is in the book that you read, in The Goddess Cure, so the whole story with Melinda healing her 26 years of PMS in one 45-minute session. And I say, where was the goddess? And they go, what goddess? And then I say to them, how does that feel? That there is no divine feminine presence. And frequently they burst into tears. They say, it's the biggest pain in my soul, and I didn't even know it was there. So we all feel abandoned by the goddess, because she's nowhere to be found. And while God was punishing us and torturing us and testing us and making us prove ourselves, it's like in a family dynamic when dad's a nasty son of a bitch and he's angry and he hurts you. And where was mom? Why didn't she either stop him or get us away? And so in therapy, people go into therapy and they spend years being angry at their dad. And when they finally get past that, which usually doesn't happen because they just keep talking about the past, I help them go in their imagination and beat the crap out of their father and express the anger and release it. And then they go, where was mom? How could she have let that happen? And that dynamic that we create in our families is exactly the same dynamic in our spiritual heritage, because we feel punished by God. We're taught that God put us here. And there's not one person I've ever met. I've talked to tens of thousands of people over the last 45 years. Tens of thousands of people. There's not one person who's totally happy with their life. Not one. And if God put you here into a life that you're not happy with, how do you feel about that God? You say, oh, I love God. No, you're lying. If somebody stuck you into this life where you don't have the career that you want, you probably don't have, women never have the body that they want. Men don't have the success or I wasn't handsome enough to suit myself. So I was pissed off at God for not being handsome enough. And we're all angry at God. Nobody talks about it. And if you go through the anger at God, then you get to, well, where was the goddess?
Exactly.
So the wound that you're asking about, what has happened is we're disconnected from the goddess and angry about that. So what do women do to themselves with their anger at the feminine? They create cancer. They create PMS. They create chronic fatigue syndrome that goes on forever. They create every sort of disease known to womankind because they're so angry at the goddess. And who do they take that out on? Themselves. They also then take it out on the men and the people around them, while the men who are angry at the goddess, who do they take it out on? Their spouse. their girlfriend. They're just random women with disrespect and anger and rage. And every human being I've ever met, I've been doing this 45 years exploring this stuff, and full-time as a therapist and helping people heal this for 27 years, worked with tens of thousands of people. Every single one of them is angry at God, taking it out on themselves and the people around them, and even angrier at the goddess, and taking it out on themselves and women, and refusing the abundance of the universe. We live in an abundant universe. Why would you refuse the abundance that's all around us? Oh, because you're pissed off at the giver. And God and the goddess are the source of love and of everything. So we resist, we resent. And so what women do to each other is tragic. What they do to themselves is painful and ongoing. So just like I healed myself, my appendix instantaneously in the goddess cure, which is available on my website. Also, Melinda had 26 years of horrible PMS, 2 or 3 weeks every month, cramps and bloating and heavy bleeding and emotional craziness, 26 years of that. And she did everything the doctors could do and nothing made any difference. We went in one session and I helped her not only get angry at God, she beat the crap out of God, felt better about that. And I said, what do you want to do to the goddess? She said, oh, I want to make her hurt inside. I want her just in pain. What has she been doing to herself for 26 years? The end of that session, as you know from reading the book, the end of that 45-minute session, her period cramps, 26 years of period cramps, bloating, gone, completely gone, never came back. So the wow. anger that I held inside at my mother damn near killed me. The anger that everyone's holding at God is screwing up everything in their life, and the anger at the goddess is hurting women, hurting their bodies, hurting their children, hurting everything. So if you heal that, so in the future, Jared and I were talking about this the other day, and Lena, if we could heal all of that, if everyone could see a bright future, which is the core of my work is seeing the bright future first, then you go in to do the healing stuff. If you could see a bright future where everyone is excited about their future, and if you could heal the rage at God and the goddess and the self-pity and the victimhood and the self-sabotage that comes out of that, what would the world look like? If you could see a bright future, if everyone could see a bright future, and if you got rid of the anger, the hurt, the hate, the self-sabotage, what would the world look like?
It would look like there's a place of, well, you know, have these struggles, and we would not be blocked in acknowledging
right.
where we are and gotten through all that. So now we're able to be free. I think we'd be free.
Right. And then we would live as spiritual beings, having a human experience and having a good time. We're supposed to be having fun here. Like Lazarus said, after all the life purpose workshops, I did dozens of them. Okay, I'm here to be, an engineer. No, I never did that. Oh, I'm here to be a salesperson. No, I hated that. Oh, I'm here to be a father. Okay, I'm doing that. I never knew what my life was about. Lazarus said it's real easy. There are two things people, all human beings come here to learn. Number one is we come here to have fun.
Mr. Payne, I'm going to have to keep it moving. I don't mean to cut you off. This is outstanding. I just got to keep it moving. Lena,
sure.
I want to thank you for your questions. We have a track next. Call in 516-453-9133. You got a track from Brother O. Brother O, go ahead and play that beautiful music. Thanks.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh yes it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid I don't know what's up there.
Motion picture, A Night in Miami, with Tony Award-winning vocalist Leslie Odom Jr. and his interpretation of Mr. Wonderful Sam Cooke. Outstanding, brother O. Call-in family, call-in tonight, 516-453-9133. We have the amazing Ty Kane on tonight, and he's dropping the esoteric jewels for us tonight, family, so call in. Mr. Kane.
Hey, Terrence, did you love Broro's song? It's been a long time coming, but change is going to come.
Absolutely. That how appropriate, right?
Perfect.
How appropriate.
That's what we're doing.
That's DJ Olasky. That's what he does.
Really?
Beautiful. Wow. I was just thinking about what you are telling Lena Blue. Wow.
So let's, I want to finish the first reason for coming here. Our purpose is to have fun. That's what gods and goddesses would do. This is supposed to be Disneyland for adults, for spiritual adults. God and the goddess would not go somewhere to suffer for 70 years and struggle and try to prove themselves and go through pain and suffering, which all religions teach. No, God and the goddess would go somewhere to have a good time. And so that's the first reason for coming here. And then the second one, as you and I have been talking a lot in the last couple of weeks, is we came here to learn how to become gods and goddesses, to learn how to create reality so that we can create fun.
Exactly.
That's what a spiritual being would do.
Right. That sounds exciting.
And it changes the whole game from getting through the suffering, struggling, and the pain, and proving to God you're good enough and coming in, you're a sinner, you're unworthy. No, you're not. You're part of God and the goddess. You can't be a sinner. You can't be defective. You're part of God and the goddess to begin with.
Exactly. And we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that
right.
When we come back here.
Right.
And so remember that. We're here to remember that.
And like Beth was saying, the feminine energy, the goddess that loves us, has been just written out of all the religions, written out of all the stories, and that happened 14,000 years ago. Wasn't always that way, but it has been. So it's time to break for all of us. And you and I have talked about this. It's time for us men also to reawaken the goddess, the feminine energy that feels emotions, that cares, that is creative, that that opens to the future, that is actually loving, that is honest, to tell the truth about anger at God and the goddess, and clear that out so we can then have fun and love. Like, how much fun, Terrace, how much fun have you and I had talking about this stuff, about really what it would be like to create a world where everybody was excited about the future?
It's a whole lot of fun. It shifted my energy is what it's done.
Yeah.
Raise my frequency.
Here's a statistic that I mentioned to you. I didn't send you the chart, but there's a tragic statistic. A study was done, worldwide study, how people feel about the future in countries all over the world. And they found that in the United States and in most countries around the world, okay, let me ask this and all the people listening, what percentage of the people in the United States, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Terry, so guess if I didn't tell you, what percentage of the people in the United States think the world is stuck, stagnant, or getting worse? As compared to the percentage you think the world and the future is getting better?
I would think that number is pretty high, that most people think that it's getting worse.
Yeah. 94%.
Wow.
I would have guessed 70, 80, except I've been studying this stuff and talking to people about their future, and 94% think the world is getting worse. So as long as they think, even though it's completely untrue, and when you look at the statistics about every aspect of our lives, from literacy to wars to food to poverty, they have all dropped tremendously just in the last 100 years. But people believe it's getting worse. And as long as you see a dark future, you'll create a dark future.
Absolutely.
Even if the world is getting better, you'll create a personal dark future, which most people do. They kill themselves with cancer or just being overweight and diabetes or heart disease or all the things that are preventable. Why are people killing themselves? Well, same reason I wanted to kill myself, because they don't have hope for the future. They just do it slower. You can kill yourself with food. You can kill yourself with drugs. You can kill yourself with alcohol. You can kill yourself with cancer or heart disease. You choose whatever you want. Pick your poison. Why are people doing that? Because they're hopeless about the future. So the first thing, my recommendation to everybody who's listening, and we're talking about God and the goddess and spirituality, the first thing, the first step in spirituality is to imagine a future where the world works. Oh, and the power just came back on. Oh my God, life is weird. So literally the power been out in my house for like 3-4 hours. We talked about that. The power literally just came on right then. As I'm talking about, imagine a bright future. My lovely lady is celebrating with saying, look, the light came, let there be light. The power came back on. Imagine a future where the world is going there. If you look statistically, the world is getting better and better and better. We just don't know that. Oh, there's a book that everybody should read. It's called Abundance, Peter Diamandis. It's the most exciting book about the future of the world that I've ever read in my life, and I've been studying this crap for like 45 years. It's the best. It's amazing. It talks about every area. It's called Abundance. It was published in 2011, 2015, something like that, and talks about every area of life, food, medicine, the economy, government, education, every area of life, and it has a whole chapter devoted to how every one of those things in our world, the problems have already been solved. We just haven't rolled them out yet. So literally, it's the most hopeful book about the future of the world, and if you read that book, you can't stay a pessimist about the world because it proves that things are getting better.
Wow.
So by getting excited about the future, that's the first step.
What is your
clearing out? Go ahead.
Okay. What is your message or prayer for humanity? Like, what is your message for humanity?
My life's work, my commitment to myself. When I decided not to kill myself, I said, okay, number one, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing something that I enjoy. So I got out of the marriage and the career, the things that I didn't like. And then I said, what is the most valuable thing that I could do for people? What is the most critical problem that I could help with? And what I realized, it was all wrapped up in one experience. The reason I wanted to kill myself was because my future was so dark and so filled with just mundane, more struggle, more suffering. Even though I wasn't religious, I had the same programming. You have to prove yourself to be good enough to life or to the world or to God. And I realized that the one thing that saved my life both times was seeing to the future and owning my own power.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started to study and really look at how people relate to the future. And I found all this stuff, like that statistic, that 94% of the people think the world is getting worse. And I realized, and now there are all kinds of studies that they're actually doing that show people who see a dark future get sick more often. There's a study done at Berkeley that people who get sick or people who are hopeless about their dreams coming true within six years, have a four times greater chance of having cancer and a five times greater chance of having some form of a heart disease. It's literally our outlook on the future that makes us sick or keeps us healthy. So my hope. Yeah.
Yep. I think Brother O wants to make a commentary about what you're talking about. Brother O, you
right?
have something you want to say?
Well, first of all, Ty, I agree with what you're saying 100%. Pandemic
cool.
and all the things we've been going through. You know, I never, ever, ever succumb to a negative weakness in my mind. You know,
whoa.
You got to look in the mirror and say, I'm going to live. I'm not going to die.
Yes.
I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And these things
yeah.
are important. Now, I want to share something tonight to all of the people around the world that listen to us on a constant basis. I'm being moved by the Spirit to play this song. There's a lot of people
cool.
out there, Ty and Terrace and our listening audience, that are just bounded, and they are not allowed to speak. They are not allowed to share their visions. And it might be different from what you've learned all your life, but you have to learn to speak now. And now I'll let my technology work for all of us tonight. And then we have a very, very special part of this program that Ty and Terrace are going to share for us. But we're going to let Leslie Odom Jr. talk to us tonight. Yeah, very quickly.
Can I ask you a question first?
Very, very quickly, because I want the Spirit to move.
You said, okay, great. You said you have a sense of hope about the future. And
More than hope.
Yes.
A belief that it will be okay. Yes.
Yeah, so how long have you had that belief? How long have you had that feeling?
Very quickly, because I want the Spirit to move.
Yep.
When I went to Chicago, Illinois, and a lot of people back in the day know the original Beverly Nation, you know, I had, you know, a name that was, you know, birthed to me, and I ran my business that way. I went to Chicago, Illinois, to help save breakfast and lunch programs for the children of the state of Illinois. And I was in one of the
beautiful.
Roughest parts of Chicago, the Wild Hundreds.
Yeah.
My family yeah. lived in 119th and Elizabeth, you know, Ida B. Wells
wow.
projects, and that right now they're not standing at this time. And I put myself in position where people thought I was putting myself in harm and danger, but I wasn't.
Right.
I was getting a spiritual
right.
awakening for my own life and to claim
right.
myself to be great. And at that time, I changed my name legally to Oladele Malewa Ngozi, my tribe. Family in Nigeria,
really?
And became greater
yeah.
as a person and greater as a spirit. So without further ado, I got to let the Spirit move, Ty, and I want this song, I want all you guys to listen to this track, and it will move your heart. And I'll come back on at the end for Ngozi time.
Great.
Let's go, y'all.
Great.
While the storm in your heart is raging, listen, listen, listen. Listen, listen to the echoes of martyrs praying, listen, listen, listen. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen, listen. message of hope and the whispers of ghosts. Listen, listen. Listen. For the children will grow on the seeds that we sow. They listen. Brothers and sisters, listen, listen. I swear we'll never find a way to where we're going. All alone, don't take your eyes off the road. Can you hear the bells ring out? Speak now. Speak now.
Favorite song, brother. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
That's so beautiful.
All right, fam. That's a great song. It's a great song right there.
And so many of the things that he spoke about, the storm raging inside, and we can't do it alone. But listen to the message of hope. Listen to the whispers. It's just a beautiful song. That's like amazing. Thank you, Brother O. That was beautiful.
Thank you for that, Brother O. Brother O, is it in Gozy time now?
Is Brother O
actually no? Because you guys are still be doing the exercise. No, it's not in Gozy time, Terrence. No, y'all guys have fun. Let's get it.
Okay, let's do the exercise. And Brother O, I wanted to mention one more thing. It's really important, like critically important. What
okay.
you have, you're part of that. Like a minute ago, I was saying 94% of the people are afraid of the future and think it's getting worse. For you to
yes.
go into Chicago and work on the breakfast program in the worst area, you either got to be crazy or you got to be weird, probably both. You have a sense of hope about the future. And guess who in the world have that, what group of people in the world have that sense of hope about the future? And what makes
well,
them unique in the world?
It's funny because you have to be different. To run
yeah.
a internet broadcasting company that I've been
yes.
running for 8 years and being
yes,
able to have
crazy.
People to have right to be, no, you know what though? They're crazy. We're not. You know,
sure.
it's almost like that, you know, the old school, the Matrix. Where we're the ones that are sane in an insane world. Now, the key is, you know, having diversity. You know, we have shows that express every sense of being. We never,
right.
ever censor our host, and that's the greatness
right.
of O&E Dynasty. It's the greatness
right.
of having
so
people
I'm,
like
what
you
I'm
come
about
on.
Is that, what I'm talking about is not the greatness of the O&E Dynasty. I'm talking about the greatness in you. And if you understand
mm-hmm.
that, which you don't fully, because I've spent 40 years.
I actually do.
Let me just give you the one piece that you don't know that you have that most. Well, I've interviewed tens of thousands of people over the last 30, 40 years, and
okay.
the one characteristic that successful people have, and most of them don't know they have it, is they have a natural hope for the future. They are part of that 5%. The other 95% literally are from the get-go, from the time they're born, pessimistic. And the people like Richard Branson, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, you, the Paris, the people who are successful in the world, the only characteristic that they share, there's a 50-year study done by a Harvard professor, the only characteristic that successful people share, it's not their education, it's not their background, it's not their family, it's their intrinsic hope for the future. The problem is right now only 5% of the people in the world have that. The other 95% don't. But the reason I'm the only therapist in the world who works with the future, because what I discovered is you can teach that other 95%. You can teach them to be weird like Brother Owen Terrace. You can teach them to develop a bright picture of the future. They just – nobody ever showed them.
I got to say this to you, Ty. I got to say this to you. We're not weird. I'm going to say this to you again. We are people who are sane in an insane world. Understand this. I want you to understand what I'm saying.
I got it totally.
For you, for a person to have the ability to learn the inward being of yourself. See, you have to be happy with who you are first. No matter how people come at you, no matter what they feel about you, you don't have to worry about what they feel about you. Spread joy. And the greatest joy, again, and I have to say this, because it's the body of work, you know, countless of hosts and guests have been on this wonderful, outstanding network. It's what, you know, I'm going to say this. Satchel Paige, the great Negro League pitcher, said this very, 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 you know, intrinsic. He said, don't look back because something might be gaining on you. You have to look toward what you have in your mind for the future. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you've been trying to say tonight. And I listen, not try. You have done it, and you've done it successfully. All the folks out there tonight, this show here is important. You might not get it now, but if you find the way to understand yourself and understand the spirituality, you know, around you, the love of the wind beating on your face, you know what I mean? Understand why the robin sings, and just take the time to just stand still. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to get back to the show because it's not about me. It's about y'all too. But,
Wait. I got to tell you one more thing. I got a solution. Here's what we're going to do.
Go ahead, Ty.
I got a business opportunity for me and Terrence. We're going to take you, Brother O, and we're going to freeze dry you, and we're going to put you in little capsules, and then we're going to sell each one of those for $1 million. And everybody who gets one of those is going to start looking at the future the way you do, because that's the magic that you have. That's the magic that Oprah has, that Richard Branson, this team, every successful person. You've got it, and so you tell people, smell the roses and enjoy it. People can't do that if they don't trust the future. So if you talk to people, that's why I'm talking about, that's why I created my practice of future vision. I take people out to see a bright future and help them to see that and feel it, just like with Bessie, Sister Bessie and Lena. I help people actually see a bright future, and literally their diseases, like mine, their diseases go away, they get excited, their life changes.
I believe that.
It's literally
the
solution, and you've got it. So, and most people like you have that, and say, you say to other people, well, just be happy and be hopeful. They don't know how. They can't. They're living on the Titanic. They're living on the Titanic, and it doesn't matter if they get a massage or they go to a meditation course. You were never on the Titanic. You figure out, okay, I'm on a boat, but I might have to dodge an iceberg, but I'm going to get where I'm going. The 95% of the world feels like they're living on the Titanic, which is why none of the therapies or the growth processes or any of the purpose workshops, none of them work. Because if you don't change your long-term view of the future to be more like Brother O, and Terrence now, he's got a hopeful outlook on the future. If you model that outlook on the future, everything in your life can change. So thank you, Brother O, not only for this. But
thank you. I got something to say to you. I got something to say to you, and I'm going to bring up the point of Terrence. You know, first of all, Ty, you know, a lot of people are not able to share the things that you're sharing. Because a lot of times people just see tunnel. You know, I see a light, but is it really there? Our job is to bring four people to that light. And with Terrence, I told him right when he, and Terrence, you know, we're going to, you know, it's out there right now. I'm going to say it, and it's going to be true.
Yes.
I told Terrence he could be one of the greatest hosts in the history of this network before he came on the air. Wasn't that right, Terrence? Wasn't that right?
True.
And now look at what
you're
doing.
Before he came on the air.
Because I saw in him, like all of the hosts of O&E, I saw something in them that sometimes, Ty, they could not see for themselves. Remember, without leadership, there's no direction. I got to go. Now, y'all supposed to be doing this thing now. All the people around the world want to hear this exercise. And, Ty, you can talk a country mile. I'm getting off this phone. And next time you hear me, guys, it'll be in gozy time. Bye.
Okay, sure. Great.
Let's take care of this. Wrap this up.
Yeah, so let's do an exercise to help everyone out there, everyone of the listeners, be more like Brother O and be more hopeful about the future and also understand the significance and the impact of the future. So this exercise is called the Dark Road, Light Road exercise. It'll take just a couple of minutes. And you, Terrence, if you'll be the representative for the whole group, and I'll ask you questions while you're doing it. But everybody out there who's listening, if you can do this exercise, if you're driving a heavy piece of machinery, don't close your eyes and do this exercise. Don't be an idiot. If you can, close your eyes and do this exercise because it can change the whole course of your life. It'll make you more like Brother O, more like Terrence, more like Oprah, more like Richard Branson. It'll show you what successful people see and feel and start building that in your imagination. So, Terrence, you'll be the representative, so I'll ask you questions as we do the exercise. Will you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So I'm going to have you close your eyes and just imagine. Just use your imagination. It's not a deep state of hypnosis or anything. It's just imagining stuff to and then noticing your feelings. And we'll do two of them. One exercise is going down a dark road. The other one is going down a bright road. And you'll feel the difference literally in your body. So close your eyes and imagine you're driving down a dark road and it's kind of rainy and dark, and it's a rough road, and you can't see very well. It's not very well lit, and you don't know where the road goes, and you don't know how long you're going to be on it. And when you're driving down that dark road and you can't see very well, notice what happens in your neck and shoulders. What do you feel in your body?
I feel they all tense up. They're tensing up, and I'm starting to sweat.
And what do you feel emotionally?
I'm becoming afraid and nervous. I'm feeling unsteady.
Exactly. And if you found out you had to be on this road, if you found out you had to be on this road for like 6 hours, how would you feel?
I don't want to do that. I might turn around. I got to do something. Hours like that,
right.
I can't do that.
That's right. I want to get off this road. That's the key to suicide. It's get off this road. So if you found out you had to be on this road for, say, 6 days, how would you feel?
Oh, my goodness. I would be very depressed.
Literally.
I don't know if I'll be able to make it.
Exactly. And now notice, if you had somebody with you and you're on this dark road and you feel tense and you feel anxious and you're depressed and you don't even want to be, and the person is telling you to have a positive attitude, what would you want to say to them?
Stop talking.
Yeah, shut the hell up.
I don't want to hear that.
You want to smack them, which is why positive thinking never works. Because if you're on a dark road, it doesn't matter if they tell you, take a breath, do some tapping exercises, do some meditation or that motion, which I went through for years and years and years. That's why I wound up suicidal after years of doing that stuff. It doesn't work. If you're on a dark road, nothing else makes any difference. If you're riding on the Titanic, it doesn't matter if you get a massage. It doesn't matter if you go to a meditation workshop. It doesn't matter if you do all the breathing exercises or you go to a therapist. You finish your massage, you walk out on deck on the Titanic, you're still headed for an iceberg. If you don't change the course of the future, nothing else is ever going to work. I tried probably 100 therapies, still wound up in a hospital and then suicidal. None of that stuff works unless you change the future first. So now, what if you found out, Terrence, what if you found out that the rest of your, and this is 94% of the population, what if you found out that the rest of your life you're going to be on this road?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't do this.
Right. I can't, which is why people eat too much and they eat themselves to death. It's why they drink. It's why they smoke. It's why they do stupid things. It's why they take drugs. It's why they go out and just do crazy behaviors
They're sabotaging themselves. They want to get off the road. They want to kill themselves. They want to get off the road sooner. So notice, this is 94% of the United States population.
Wow.
That's scary.
All right, can you take me on a break road now?
Okay, listen, get me off this road. Exactly. That's what my suicidal scream was. Get me off this road. Okay, so now open your eyes. And all you out listening, open your eyes. Notice how, now shake it off. And notice that it's hard to shake off. You can't just stop feeling tense and anxious because you haven't changed the road you're on. So now we're going to change that. And this is what my future visioning process is about, and what you can start doing right now. Little people, they listen. I've had people come out of depression just hearing this one exercise, change their whole life. So this time, Terrace, when you close your eyes, and all you listening, close your eyes, and imagine you're on a beautiful wide open road. The scenery is spectacular. There's almost no traffic, so you can travel as fast as you want. And way up, you can't even see it yet, but out over the horizon, like when you're driving to Las Vegas and you can see the lights 100 miles before you get there, you can't even see your future yet, but you can see the glow knowing that your future is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Now how do you feel, Terrace?
I feel great. I can't wait to get to where that light is shining.
Exactly. What do you feel in your neck and shoulders and your breathing?
Yes, I'm excited. Yeah, that's better.
What's your emotion?
Enthusiasm, excitement. I want to go towards that light. It's something good over there.
And now notice, person in the car with you, they don't have to tell you to have a positive attitude. You don't have to try to trump up a positive attitude. You're actually being positive. You're excited. You're hopeful.
Yes.
You can't put on a positive attitude. That kills people, because you put on the positive attitude over the anger and the fear and the hopelessness, and then the anger, the fear, and the hopelessness turns to chronic fatigue syndrome or cancer or heart disease or whatever, and it kills you because you're lying. So this, the work that I do, is the only honest spiritual program I know of on the planet Earth. Tell the truth. Be honest about your scary future and then change it. Be honest about your anger at God and heal it. Be honest about your anger at the goddess and heal that. And if you knew that God and the goddess loved you and are actually for you, the whole universe is your creation, you're powerful, and you're driving down this beautiful road knowing that that future is out there just over the horizon, what if those futures, Terrace, continue for the rest of your life and beyond this lifetime where the love goes on forever? What if you're on a road of love that goes on forever? Then how do you feel?
I feel wondrous. I feel extremely excited. I'm like, wow.
And then you don't have to try to raise your energy with all of the go to a vortex of joy. No, you're actually positive, so then good things come, like Brother O. He went to Chicago, obviously didn't get killed there in the bad neighborhood, and has now created a whole network that's bringing light, bringing love, bringing fun. Because when you're positive authentically, cool stuff happens. You automatically attract. If you're scared and sad and angry and putting on a positive facade, you don't attract diddly. It never works. It never worked for me. But when I'm authentically happy and looking at a bright road and telling the truth about the nature of the universe, telling the truth about spirituality and the nature of me and every other human being, and not afraid of the 5G towers or the non-organic, oh, my God, you ate a non-organic apple. I don't care. I eat pretty healthy, but I don't worry about that stuff. I'm too busy. I'm too happy. I'm too busy having fun on the way to my future to get sick. I virtually never get sick. I was going to the hospital way back about 30, 40 years ago. I don't get sick. I enjoy my life, because that's what we're supposed to be doing here. So if you got to spend the rest of your life, now, Terrace, imagine if you look out in the future with your eyes closed, imagine your 100-year-old self who's had an amazing life and changed the world in the process. The smile on your 100-year-old self's face, like
the big grin.
Yes,
I gotta
wait. How does that feel when he's grinning at you?
It feels great. I had a great time. It feels great.
And here's a cool idea for everyone to, what if you had that awesome 100-year-old self as your mentor in life?
Wow.
You can.
Wow.
That's how all successful people are actually operating. They just don't know it. Brother O, he has a connection to his, the hope and the future, and he can even build it stronger by doing it consciously. When you have your future self, your awesome future self, and then you have God and the goddess, and you're honest with them, and you clear out the anger and the rage and the hurt and the betrayal and the abandonment and actually feel the love, how much fun could life be?
A whole lot of fun.
Now, here's
great.
The last question that's really cool, Terrence. If you asked your 100-year-old self about his future, how does he respond?
He's excited and he's enthusiastic. And he's telling you that you can have fun too, and let's have fun together.
And he's 100 years old, so his future, whenever he chooses, he's going to die. But he's excited about that. Most people are scared to death of dying and the powerlessness and the fear and then being judged by God and all that crap. No, when you create your future and you're going home to God and the goddess, you can be excited all the way up to, that way you avoid Alzheimer's. There's a reason people create Alzheimer's, they don't want to look at the future. The reason people create dementia, because they don't want to look forward. They're scared to death of dying. They're scared to death of being judged by God. They don't even know there's a goddess out there waiting to love them. But your 100-year-old self, he doesn't have time for Alzheimer's or dementia. He's too busy having fun.
He knows he's going home. He had a great time here, and now it's time to go home, man.
And now, Terrence, because you can do this, look at the world that he has helped create where everyone is excited about the future. What does the world look like in your even 10 years from now, but particularly your 100-year-old self? What is the world that he lives in look like where everyone is owning their power and excited about their future?
There's no scarcity. There's no fighting and bickering.
Right.
You know, it's safe to go to anywhere to our neighbors because we all love each other.
Right. And that's neighbors in your neighborhood. That's neighbors across the world. If we all knew that the future is going to be glorious, countries wouldn't try to steal other countries' stuff. People wouldn't steal other people's cars and all that. If you know you're going to get what you want, people are actually loving.
Absolutely.
So the key now is imagine what if you can help other people see a bright future? Because I need your help. I can't do this alone. I made it my life mission to change the future of the world. And then I realized 95% of people, I said, oh, Jesus, I took on a bigger task than I thought. But somebody's got to do it, so that's what I'm doing. I'm the only therapist in the world who's built an entire practice based on working with the future. And everybody can do it. Everybody has an imagination. And when you teach this to kids, oh, it's amazing to watch them change. Their nightmares disappear. Their anxiety attacks go away. Their asthma disappears. They start having fun. They are less angry, and they cause fewer problems, and they have a lot more fun and create more success. My daughter's 35, and I taught this to her when she was 5, 6, 7 years old. I said, the most important thing I want you to know, Rachel, is how to create your future. I don't care what you do at school. Learn some cool stuff there. But learn how to create your future. It's the most valuable skill. And she did. She's created miracles all the way through her life.
Mr. Kane, I want to thank you for this show. We got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
This has been fantastic. I feel brighter already. I'm sure our listening audience does also.
I want to thank you.
We got to wrap it up.
And can I just say that my website again, so that people can get some more information, go watch that video, and they can get in touch with me, and I'd love to take them to their future and help them heal, whatever. That's what I do, and I love doing it. Can I mention that again?
Then he's going to give us time for you to say all of that.
Okay. Super.
No, we're going to let Ty do his thing right now, and then go see time. Ty, tell everyone how to reach you, please.
Yeah.
My bad.
My website is, thank you, brother. You're awesome. And Terrence and I are going to decide whether we freeze dry you or not. So we have made that decision. So, you know, your future is still a little up in the air, but we'll make the decision somewhere along the line. Yeah. My website is futurevisioning.com. And all my contact information is there. You can send me an email. It's Ty@futurevisioning.com. And the video is there where you get to watch me do this with a group of people and then go into some of the details about how to heal the anger at God and the goddess and how to heal your self-sabotage and that kind of stuff. And I do individual sessions and groups and work with organizations. And the goal is to create a future where everyone is excited about their future and knowing that they are a spiritual, a God-goddess being. And then creating magic. Like Brother O created this whole network. It came out, it didn't exist. Out of his imagination. That's what our imagination can do, and I'd love to help you do that. So get in touch with me, and let's all. Oh, and then go talk to somebody tonight. Here's the coolest thing: go talk to somebody you love, and ask them about what they see in their future. And more often than not, it'll be kind of dark, kind of negative, kind of scary. And then say, okay, so what if your future worked? Can you imagine a future where the world works? And they won't be able to do it easily. Brother O can do it quickly. Karis can do it quickly. Those kind of people. Now, I wasn't one of those. I was. Well, that's why I hit the wall. Damn near died twice. I had to learn how to do this. To be about what would the future look like if it really works. And literally, you can change relationships, change your kids. And I wish everybody a bright future. And thank you. Thank you so much, Brother O. And thank you, Karis. This has been awesome. I've had a great time.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank all the folks out there who called in tonight to this wonderful show and support OD Dynasty on a constant basis. Also, I want to congratulate Terry Strength on his 31st OD Syndicated Station All-Time Connection record and the unprecedented. No other host has ever done this in the history of our network. You know, we have people that got to the 20 plateau, the 10 plateau, but no one has ever got to the 30 plateau. And what an outstanding thing for that to happen tonight. It's funny that Ty said something that was very, very important. We had another host on our network that said the same thing about the 5% and the 95%. And I got to give props to that person. And that's Winnie Bakatoon, a.k.a. The Matchman. He always talked about, you know, 95, you know what I mean, of 100% of people will not get the message, and only 5% will. And this guest, it's the first person other than Winnie Bakatoon that's ever said that on the Dynasty. So I want to thank Ty Kane tonight for that. That was outstanding. And we want to just give, you know, honor to that. Tomorrow night on these ONE stations, we come right back with Lena Blue and Awaken the Goddess right here on these ONE stations, Beverly Nation, of course. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising to ONE, which is on the Deli and Goes Enterprise region, of course. At www.lookingglassentertainment at wordpress.com, as well as in Gozy Prime Time on that, fezzet.com. We're in Gozy Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Delling goes here, Pinterest, Google Plus. Ola Delling Relay goes here, Facebook, as well as our business page. Know Your Rights, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio status 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? olaydaylay.ingozbutmy@gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewi Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now, the 2020 Linear New Host of the Year at ONE Dynasty with his last 2 minutes left to go in the program.
I want to thank Brother O for the beautiful music he played tonight, and I want to thank the amazing Ty Kane for dropping the jewels of hope to us tonight, and it's been an outstanding show. I've gained a lot. I hope you guys have gained a lot out there, and I will see you guys again in 4 weeks with some more compelling topics, hopefully, and I will see you guys then. And remember, family, always, always know your strength.